Let's continue discussing nonverbal communication. Today I want to discuss hugs and time. It is a very, very good idea to get in the habit when kids are at a young age of giving them hugs. Rav Horowitz tells the following story. A couple once came to him with their child, and he wasn't doing well in certain areas. Rav Horowitz spoke to the young man, to the young boy, spoke to the parents. The young boy said he felt his mother didn't love him. Well, if you feel your mother doesn't love you, you're going to have difficulties. Rav Horowitz spoke to the mother. She loved her boy to death. She actually wrote him a little note in his lunchbox every day, like a little love note. Rav Horowitz understood the following. The mother was very verbal, she liked to write, but she wasn't into hugs. The boy needed a hug. So the mother was showering the boy with love her way, but the boy wasn't hearing it. Rav Horowitz gives the following mushel. The mother was like a 220 socket, and the boy was like a 110 appliance. It's just not going to work. Who has to make the change? The parent, the adult. The adult can make the change to fit what their child needs. Most children need hugs, want hugs, respond well to hugs. Get in the habit at a young age of giving your children hugs. I once heard Rav Kelman Shlita speak. And later I saw that this part of the speech is in his book, To Kindle a Soul. Rav Kelman spends a lot of time, he studies the various studies out there and sees how we can use them from a Torah perspective. So we saw a study and which was as follows. A woman did a 30-year study. She was a graduate school teacher. She sent her students into X number of homes, and when the kids were little, and they measured the amount of hugs and kisses the children received when they were young. She then followed the progress of these children for 20, 30 years, and she writes in her study, she found a 93% correlation between the kids who had a lot of hugs and kisses when they were younger and the ones that were successful as young adults, successful emotionally, psychologically, etc. Incredible. What about the 7%? So that, Rav Kelman said, is B'chir Chavshis. They overcame anyway. Rav Kelman said, after reading this study, he would say to his children, have you had enough hugs and kisses today? And they don't say no. And I'm sure Rav Kelman hugged his kids before he read the study as well. It's a big yesod. A hug is one of the classic forms of nonverbal communication. And we should do it and get in the habit of doing it when our kids are younger. And then it will continue later as well. Very, very important. Don't forget the mushel of the 220 socket and the 110 appliance. Next is time. Our kids need our time. Rav Horowitz writes, page 82 and 83. Children need to know that they are an important, perhaps the most important priority in your life. Rav Horowitz writes, we have to get in the habit of spending 5 minutes talking and preferably listening to each child when they come home from school. You're saying this is easy. Well, it's not so easy. You're busy. Your kids have things to do. Start the process when they're younger. Set aside a time. Kids come home from school. Normally they need to relax. Maybe have a snack. It could be during the snack or right after the snack. Sometimes they want to play first. Often it could be right before bedtime. You find a time where your child knows you want to hear about, let me hear about your day. Start this when they're young. Very, very important. You're showing your kids you want to talk and you want to listen to them. So setting aside the time is a classic form of nonverbal communication. It is very easy to go through days without doing this. You're busy. Your spouse is busy. Your kids are busy. But if you start this when your kids are younger, they will respond. Most kids want to talk to their parents. Most kids want to talk to their parents. If we train them, if we listen, then we will train them to talk to us more. Very, very important. And here there are three ideas. They're all similar. I mean, they teach the same message. Of all the quotes here on page 82 from Yaakov Horowitz, one of the leading mechanchim. Rav Horowitz says that when he talks to a teenager who comes into his study, Rav Horowitz makes a point of either pulling the telephone jack out of the wall or taking the receiver off the hook. This book was written a long time ago. We would say turn off his cell phone. The effect is often magical because Rav Horowitz sent the message as follows, quote, talking to you is more important to me than talking to anyone else who might call right now. It's a beautiful example. Turn the cell phone off. Your kids are talking to you. Don't answer your cell phone. Leave it off. The truth is this applies to adults too. There's a new phenomenon now. You're talking to your spouse, to your friend. The phone rings, so you go and answer it. Were you so used to answering the phone? No, you're talking to someone. But with your kids, for sure, turn the cell phone off. I once heard an opposite example, the same you showed with an opposite example from Dr. Wickler. He writes as follows. He says, leave your cell phone on and hope that somebody calls. And then, while your child is there, you answer the phone and say, oh, I'm sorry. I can't talk right now. I'm involved in a very important conversation. So those are two different ways of doing the same thing. Showing your kids they come first. You can try either one, whichever one works for you. Along the same lines, I think it's important as follows. If your child says to you, you're the parent, Ima, can we talk now? Ima, can we talk? Never say no, period. Never say no. The answer either is yes, of course, I'd love to talk with you. Or the answer is yes, I'd love to, but I can't right now. Let's set a time later when I'm a little less busy. And then make sure to keep the time. Your kids will remember. If you want your kids to talk to you, and you want your kids to talk to you, if they ask you to talk, never say no. It's either yes now or yes later. This is very important. If Orlick says we want our kids talking to us, we want our kids asking us their questions and discussing things with us. Right now we live in a world where there's somebody out there who knows everything, gives almost instantaneous answers, and also can be entertaining as well. His name is Dr. Google. We don't want our kids talking to Dr. Google instead of talking to us. We want them talking to us. Who decides? Who sets the tone whether our kids will talk to us? We do. Train them when they're younger. Abba wants to listen. Ima wants to listen 5 minutes a day. And hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, your kids will get, you'll get to the level where your kids say to you, Abba, Ima, I can't go to sleep yet. We haven't discussed our day. Very, very important. Very good advice. So this is another aspect of nonverbal communication. Setting aside the time to talk to our kids and to listen to our kids is nonverbal communication. Kids have to realize they come before the cell phone. Kids have to realize that if they ask, if they want to schmooze, the answer is yes, I always want to schmooze with you. Sometimes I can't right now. I'm very busy. I have a big project due or something. That could happen. And you explain to your kids, and as long as you keep to your word, and later you do talk, it's best if it's that day, Sometimes it can't, but you keep to it. Whenever you set the time, you keep to it, and your kids will get the proper message. So this is the second discussion of nonverbal communication, hugs and talking. Okay, we'll stop here. Actually, it's better, hugs and listening. Okay, we'll stop here.